And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. It's a rather touching story. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting in the dust in the streets of Jericho. When we're blind, I can't relate to it, of course. I thank the Lord. But when one is blind, they can't see where they're going, of course. They can't see the things around them. And I suppose there's fear of the unknown. Once we're saved, all the miracles the Lord Jesus Christ did all portray different aspects of his great salvation. The lame walking, lepers cleansed, dead raised up to life again, and blindness pictures that aspect of salvation when divine light shines in onto my soul. It is a miracle. It takes place the moment that I turn with all my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows our hearts. So few are saved because they don't want to turn from going their own way and turn with all their hearts. But when one does that, when they fully and freely surrender to Christ, it is a miracle that takes place. Salvation's a miracle. And it takes place in a split second of time. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, immediately indwells the body of that one who has trusted Christ. And there's light. Immediately there's light. Just like this man Bartimaeus. It was immediate. It wasn't gradual. It wasn't a slow process where he's blind and then over a little period of time then he sees. It was immediate. And when I'm saved, I know where I'm going. I know. By faith, we see Jesus. I know in whom I have believed. In John chapter 9, he gave sight to a blind man. Excuse me. You don't know this man's name. Pharisees, the religious people, were quizzing him who did this and so on. And he said this, one thing I know. He didn't know a whole lot. Matter of fact, he didn't know anything. He was about to learn about the blessed Savior. But he said this, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I know where I'm going. That's what it's like to be saved. I have light, spiritual light in me. And I can now see clearly the things around me. Life is no longer confusing to me. Lost souls, the multitude, lost and in their sins. And those who are saved and in Christ and on their way to heaven with certainty. And I understand the world is not just a playground for children and then later a workshop for adults. It's a spiritual battlefield for souls, Satan pitted against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear of the unknown is gone. It's taken away immediately. fear of fellow man disappears, there's no fear anymore. No fear of the future anymore. And there's no fear of death. And I understand he's in control of all the events of the world and all the events in my life. If there's anyone here this morning, you are not a child of light. You can't relate to the things you've just heard. May God bless you throughout this little time. And may he open, first of all, your eyes of understanding. And may you surrender this morning and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have that great miracle take place. The condition of Bartimaeus, well, it pictures spiritual blindness. John 12:35, he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Where are you going when you leave your body? Excuse me. Most people, see, I don't know. I can't see that far ahead. Ephesians 5:8, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking through the Apostle Paul to the saints, the Christians in Ephesus, he says to them, notice the past tense, ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were, but not anymore. And that's what it means to be saved. The condition of Bartimaeus, blind, and it also pictures spiritual poverty. He's begging. They had no social assistance then in those days, and a man that was blind, obviously was very little he could do to work, and so they would beg. They had no choice. He was poor. And we're all poor. Spiritually poor, every single one of us, poor and needy. Psalm 40:17. Many are ignorant of our condition. We don't realize that we're poor. We don't have anything to offer God, nothing at the end of our life. And some people are under the delusion that they have something to offer God, some good things they've done in their life. Many good things. Isaiah 64:6, very strong language is used. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's quite strongly put by God. It's telling us what God thinks of anyone who doesn't understand their spiritual poverty. We don't have anything to offer God. We have no righteousness of our own to offer God. It's imperative we understand how poor we are spiritually. Only then will I see my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I believe on him, we're told we are rich toward God. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that understand and confess to God their poverty, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blind, begging, and he needed a bath. It's interesting, we have his father's name, the son of Timaeus. Perhaps it's to teach us something about his condition. Timaeus means unclean and polluted. Well, he needed a bath anyway. Imagine sitting down in the dust in the street, people going back and forth all day long. And we spiritually need a bath because we are stained with sin. Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? So we're all unclean, all men, all women. And so when we're born as children, we're in the same state, uncleanness. The only time that ever happened was at Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ clean, every whit, no stain of sin ever on that blessed man. Isaiah 64 and 6 again, we are all as an unclean thing. We are all an unclean people in an unclean world. Every single person who's not in God's family. Ezra 9:11, the land is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to the other, with their uncleanness. And men and women, nations are ignorant of this. They think all is well. All these things we do, they're accepted by society, and they're accepted by governments and so on, so all must be well. God says, no, it's not well at all. If it used to be sin, it's still sin. Isaiah could declare in Isaiah 6 and 5, woe is me. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Now what brought forth that exclamation from the lips of Isaiah? It's because of what he had seen. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he is the one that God wants you to see this morning, if you're not saved, that you would see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I rightly view the Savior, then I have a right view of myself from God's perspective. And I understand that I'm blind spiritually. I am poor. Nothing to offer God, and I do indeed need cleansing, Lord. And all three aspects of our condition are met by the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual blindness, Isaiah 42 and 6. He came for a light of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes. That's why he came. Not just to save us from a lost eternity, to open our blind eyes. John Newton's famous song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And friend, you'll never see until you get to him, Christ, and have the great miracle of salvation take place. Excuse me. Spiritual poverty. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. That's what he does on salvation's day. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he who owns everything, he became poor. That we, through his poverty, he was poor when he was here. We all know that. Might be rich. All three aspects that are pictured in Bartimaeus are met. All great needs are met in that wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual uncleanness. When I trust Christ as my Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. All sin. John 13:8, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Friend, may God impress that upon your heart. You can't leave this world spiritually blind, spiritually poor, and spiritually unclean. In that condition, it's absolutely impossible for you to go to heaven. You can't go. All these things have to happen now before I die. So we're delighted you're here this morning. And maybe you're not saved. Well, you may be saved. This great miracle can take place this morning as you sit in your seat. It's again the heart. It's a matter of the heart, the will. And I surrender my will. I acknowledge to God that, Lord, Bartimaeus is a picture of me. And I do not want to go on one more day of my life like this. I want to be cleansed, Lord. Excuse me. His condition is a picture of our condition before we come to Christ. Now he cried. He began to cry out. He cried the more a great deal. The people that were there cared not for him. And they rebuked Bartimaeus and told him to hold his peace. But he was not going to listen to the crowd. He cried out, "Have mercy on me, Jesus, thou Son of David." They said, "Be quiet." But notice the earnestness of this man. He cried the more a great deal. Now the word cry, this word's a very special word. It's a cry that arises from fear. And so we look at this and we ask ourselves, what was Bartimaeus afraid of? Well, the answer is right in the little reading. And they came to Jericho, and as he, the Lord Jesus, went out of Jericho, Jesus was just passing by. And the Bible doesn't give us an account of him ever being there again. Now Bartimaeus heard, we read, that it was Jesus of Nazareth. So his fear was that this might be his last opportunity to get in touch with Christ, the Almighty Savior. That's what he's afraid of. I read an account of a ship called the Cunarder. The cry, "Man overboard," someone fell over, a sailor. A lifeline was thrown to him before the ship got too far away from him. And he grasped this lifeline, and strong hands pulled him back on deck. Now he lay a long time stretched out. The companions were working on him. His eyes opened occasionally. He moved his lips without a sound. One thing that was outstanding is that they couldn't get him to let go of the lifeline. A considerable time elapsed, and he whispered to the captain, "Captain, I can't let go. I gripped it for my life." Now, it was 4 more hours before the muscles relaxed enough that he could let go of the lifeline. Well, he was no fool, was he? He was about to die by drowning. He saw a lifeline within reach. And he knew this might be my only opportunity to get a hold of that lifeline. It might not come near me again. And so he grabbed it immediately with all the strength he had, and he held on. And the application to that story is this: we are drowning in a sea of sin, sinking, drawing near to an eternal punishment. And now this morning, if you're here as an unbeliever, God is once again offering you a lifeline. It's not called religion. It's not called doing your best. It's called salvation. And could this be your last opportunity? We never know. So why not reach out by faith and take hold of that lifeline this morning? That's being offered to you by Christ himself. "Come unto me." So he cried. Now he's called. Jesus stood still. Marvelous scene. He stood still. Nobody else cared about that man crying, but the Lord cared. And he commanded him to be called. And they, the disciples, call the blind man. This word's a different word from verses 47 and 48. It means to speak loud, clearly, to call out. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted the disciples to make sure that Bartimaeus knew he was standing still right before him, and he was there to help him, and that he heard his cry. Tell that man his cry is not in vain. And that's our purpose when we preach the gospel. And their words to him are our words to you this morning if you're an unbeliever. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. A man in China had a problem with his eyes, cataracts, I think. Couldn't see. He was at a mission station, and a missionary doctor operated and got his sight. He was thrilled. 1 month later, they saw an unusual sight at the mission station. The man that had received his sight was entering the mission compound holding onto a rope. And also holding onto the rope were 48 blind men. And he was leading them to the one who gave him his sight. And that is our purpose in preaching the gospel, to seek through the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to lead others to the mighty Savior who gives light and life. Be of good comfort. Be of good courage. It means don't be afraid any longer. Cheer up. Have confidence. Jesus is standing still right here in this room, outside your heart's door. He calleth thee. He calleth thee. It's very personal. 7 times, he. 7 times, he, Bartimaeus. 2x, thee, Bartimaeus. He's calling you. If you're not saved this morning, he's calling you to come into those arms of love. An invitation. Leonard Woods, college president, was in France, and he was invited to dine with the king of France. He presented himself at the palace, and he was met by the king with his accustomed courtesy. And the king addressed him and said this: "We did not know that we were to have the pleasure of your company today. You did not answer our invitation." His reply was this: "I thought the invitation of a king was to be obeyed, not answered." And friend, it is. The Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is calling you, inviting you to come to him. And he wants you to obey him. Oh, what folly not to obey him. 1 Peter 2:9, "Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You know, the word rise here is to rouse up from sleep, to wake up from the sleep of death. That's the word they used to Bartimaeus. But what did he do? Excuse me. In verse 50, he casting away his garment. I read perhaps he may have had special garments for blind beggars so people would know their problem as they sat begging. What does this typify casting away his garments. I would suggest it's saying goodbye to the old life. I'm tired of living in darkness, not having any purpose to my life, no point to my life, not knowing why I'm here or where I'm going. Just doing my own thing. I don't want that life anymore. Casting away his garment, like the lady in John 4:28, she left her water pot. She left it behind. The Lord said, you drink of that water, my dear, you'll thirst again. She got living water from the Savior that day. And so she just left her water pot. And away she went into the city and said to the men, come see a man. And that's the essence of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come see a man. It's a requirement if one is to be saved. Leave the water pot. Cast off the worldly garments. A wealthy man said to a devoted Christian lady, I would give the world to have your experience. And she said, that's just what it costs me. I gave the world for it. Would you be willing to do that this morning? Would you be willing to come out of this wicked world and be associated with the rejected one? Do you know the cross? Why was he crucified? Why wasn't he stoned to death? Because the cross is the symbol of rejection. That's what it symbolizes, rejection. And that was our statement to God. Crucify him. Crucify him. We do not want God. We reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, friend, the world has not changed at all. Would you be willing to step out of it by faith and come as you are and just be willing to do whatever the Lord requires of you? That's all. Your will. Let your will to God be given. Acts 9 and 6, Saul of Tarsus, the mighty salvation wrought that day. And the first words out of his mouth, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? No longer was it I do what I want to do. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I want to do it. His condition, his cry, the call, he casted his garment and he came. And he leaped up. They said rise. I mentioned what that word means. This word means he leaped up. He calleth me. And that's the call this morning. Rise up out of the darkness of your sins and come to him, the light of life, by faith. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me. Would he invite you to come unto him if it was not possible for you to come unto him? Absolutely not. You may come to him by faith this morning. And he says this in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise never, never cast out. Eternal salvation. So he came. And he's cured. The Lord Jesus asked him a question. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee, Bartimaeus? What if the Lord asked you that question? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Anything you want. What do you want me to do for you? I'm God. I can do anything. What do you want me to do? What would your answer be? I know a lot of people out there would say, Lord, I want $200 million. I want to live till I'm 500 years old, Lord. I want good health and many, many years, and give me pleasures galore. He's not going to do that. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? You know, the answer he wants is, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be saved from my sins. I believe the Bible's truth. And I know I'm in my sins. Lord, I'm not ready for heaven. Lord, I want to be ready for heaven. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Ah, Lord, I want my sight. That's what I want. We don't know how many years Bartimaeus sat in the dust, blind. The Lord Jesus said, go thy way. What saved him? His faith saved him. His faith. He didn't do anything. That's how we're saved. I have faith. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I'll never perish. I'm saved. I believe the Bible. That's faith. And that's the only way I can be saved. It's the key that opens up heaven's door. Thy faith has saved thee. He never saw the Lord Jesus standing there. He's blind. He never even heard the voice of the Savior yet. But he rose and came to Jesus. The disciples guided him, no doubt, right in front of the Savior. And again, that's the purpose of this meeting this morning. To bring you face to face with the wonderful Savior. And immediately he received his sight. Psalm 146 and 8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. He'll open your eyes. Salvation's a miracle that takes but a moment. I've already said that. It's faith. Coming to a man you can't see. But believe what God says. He stands outside your heart's door and knocks. He said, now if you hear my voice, you open the door in your heart of hearts. Say, Lord, I want you. All my desire is toward you, Lord. That's when you'll be saved, friend. That's when the miracle will take place. And it's faith. You could see there's no faith required, is there? We can't see. It's believing. Smoke and flames were billowing from the Greenfields house in Ontario. And they all got out, Mr. Greenfield and his wife and their children. Everybody's outside, even the dog's out. That's the moment when you realize what's really important, not things. He's looking up at his house and suddenly he realizes young Douglas is not there. He's 11. That young boy, there was something in his bedroom that he thought was of great value and he wanted to rescue it. He had gone back inside the house. Father looked up in the window and saw his son. And now Douglas can't get back down because the staircase is all aflame. He's screaming out. So Mr. Greenfield goes over right underneath the window and he said, Douglas, I can see you. Jump. And you jump now. He could see smoke coming out of that window where the boy was. He said, Daddy, I can't see you. Mr. Greenfield said, that's okay. I can see you. I'm here. Now jump, and jump now. Jump he did, into the waiting strong arms of his father. That required faith, and that's how we're saved. It's by faith. Come into those strong and mighty arms of Christ. No, I can't see him, but I believe the Bible. I believe he's here right now. And finally, Bartimaeus is captivated. What did the Lord Jesus say to him? Go thy way. Ah, he cast that gold garment aside. I don't want to go my way anymore. It says he followed Jesus in the way. And so will you. You will too. Maybe you sit here right now not saved and can't even imagine yourself being so devoted to him. But you will be. Out of gratitude, out of love in your heart for that man of Calvary who saved me. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Just in closing, there was a young girl named Carol. She was born blind, 12 years old. Her parents had spent all their money on doctors. Nobody was able to help her. It looked as though she was going to spend the rest of her life in darkness. They heard of a famous surgeon from Europe who was over in the United States. It was a glimmer of hope for them. They made an appointment, and he saw them, and he examined young Carol. He said, "Now, I'm not going to promise you, but I think I can give this girl back her sight with an operation." And they said, "Doctor, we have nothing to pay you." He looked at the family and a little girl. He said, "That's all right. It's on me." The operation took place. The day came. They're in the room. Bandages come off. He told her to keep her eyes closed. The light was dim. Then he told her very slowly, "Open your eyes." And she did. First face she saw was him. For the first time in her life, she saw her mother and her father. And she wept. Now, she had a teddy bear that was her dearest friend for many years. She'd never even seen this teddy bear before, just felt him. She looked at that teddy bear, and she said, "Doctor, please take my teddy. He's all that I have." And you know, he took it. He put it on the mantle of his home over in Europe. And whenever guests came in, he'd show that teddy bear to them. And he said, "This is from a girl who gave me all that she had. And you will want to." Understand that. Don't try and envision yourself living the Christian life until you get the life. You will too. You'll want to give him all you have. May God bless you with salvation even this morning, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we draw near to thee and thank thee for this time we've had to again consider the marvelous salvation of thy beloved Son. And if by chance there are any here, young or old, who are not yet saved, may they have that great experience, Father. May they surrender this morning and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and receive their sight, salvation. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, giving thanks. Amen.
We hope that you've received your sight this morning to see that you're a sinner, but there's a Savior who came to save sinners, and we hope that he's your Savior this morning. And I was asked to give thanks for the food. I think it may be ready downstairs.